Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everyone. Hey, let me say, this has been great today here with our worship service and all that, but I also want to say Friday night, it was an amazing night here at Fairmount. We had 175 guests from the community, and over 300 volunteers were in this place for Night to Shine, and it was an amazing night. The love of Christ, the light of Christ shone very brightly in this place, and I want to say thank you. If you were here or helped out in any way, just raise your hand or go whoop whoop or something. There you go. Thank you all of y'all for doing that. It was a great night and a blessing to all who were here. And unless we learn otherwise, I don't know, Chris can throw things at me if he wants, but I think we'll keep doing it until they tell us we can't do it anymore. So if you have never served at Night to Shine, I want to strongly encourage you to do that when it shows again. You know, that's the thing. It's just one night out of the whole year. So if you got other plans, you can't do it. But I hope you'll be able to keep that Friday night before Valentine's Day open for on your schedule for Night to Shine. All right, we all know. We've all heard it 100 times today already. It's the Super Bowl today. And so I do it every year, and I'll do it today. So who's rooting for the Eagles tonight? Who's rooting for the Eagles? All right, let me hear you. Come on, let me hear you. Rooting for the Eagles. All right. Who's rooting for the Chiefs tonight? All right. Who's rooting for the refs tonight, you know? Of course, that's the same thing as rooting for the Chiefs. But anyway, you know, so... They were throwing things at the last service, so. How many are rooting for the ads? Yeah. I was at Ashland Elementary School on Friday, and we were in the gymnasium for a program, and I overheard some staff talking, and one of them, they were talking about the Super Bowl, and one staff member said they were rooting for a meteor strike. I was like, that's pretty vicious right there. Obviously not going to root for either team. But anyway, Super Bowl always lends itself to always good stories and good quotes and all that. Super Bowl winning coaches have been the source of some of the most inspirational quotes of all time. Vince Lombardi, for whom the Super Bowl trophy is named, he said, "Leaders are made, they are not born. They're made by hard effort, which is the price which all of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile." And he's exactly right. A beautiful quote from Coach Lombardi. My favorite coach of all time, of course, Coach Gibbs. Joe Gibbs said, you and I are players. God's our coach. And we're playing the biggest game of all. We have a loving God that made us. We need to get on his team. And Coach Gibbs is exactly right. We need to be on God's team. And I'm glad you're here today. I'm hoping that means you're on his team today. We love inspiration. We love quotes. We love life lessons that come from those who have achieved the highest levels in their chosen field, whatever that happens to be. You know, my first full-time ministry was in a little town called Painted Post, New York. If you've ever been to New York, if you've ever been to Niagara Falls from here, you might have even driven through Painted Post to get there. Just a little stop on the road there in southern New York at the bottom of the Finger Lakes, a beautiful part of our country. I was the preaching minister. I was the youth minister. I was the worship minister. I was the facility manager. I was the administrative pastor. I was the guy who got the mail and cut the grass. I mean, we did it all. And it was an exciting time. The leaders of that church, and it was my first full-time ministry, they saw this, you know, green, you know, young pastor coming up there. And they wanted me to spend some time with a seasoned, respected preacher there in the state. So in New York, you know, Christian churches like ours, there's only about 20 of them in the whole state. And so I would drive 2 hours to go to Syracuse and spend the day with a man by the name of Loyal Gallier. If you know, Loyal was like the Harry Gill, you know, of New York State, if you know Harry. And so Loyal and I, you know, he wasn't one of these guys come to my office and we would, you know, we mentor and talk and counsel. We spent all of our mentoring time in the car. We would go to hospitals, then we go to McDonald's, then we go to people's homes, then we go to Burger King, and then we go to see church leaders, then we go at, we always ended up at KFC every time. That was the thing. The point my leaders wanted me to do, and the reason that it was so valuable, was to spend some time learning from someone who had done the work well, and Loyal definitely fit the bill. Of course, no one has done the work more well than Jesus. That's why his life is the most inspiring of all. If you want to do something well, look to Jesus. If you want to have meaning in life, look to Jesus. If you want to make a difference in this world today, look to Jesus. Regardless of your age, regardless of your chosen profession, regardless of how long you've been a follower of Jesus, look to Jesus. This is the year of hope at Fairmount. So every message from the pulpit this year is delving into how hope touches every aspect of our lives. So this month, we're delving into the hope-filled life that comes from pursuing spiritual growth. Hope in spiritual growth. The ultimate inspiration for growth comes from the biblical example of Jesus, right? So we're using as our theme verse this month the words from the Gospel of Luke, which specifically address how Jesus grew, specifically talking about Jesus at the age of 12. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is Jesus at the age of 12. At the age of 12, I was still a student at Chamberlain Elementary School. I was playing with G.I. Joes and riding my bike all the time and listening to 45s in my bedroom. Jesus was growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus gives us the model. He gives us the inspiration for growth in every area of our lives. Last week, we looked at Jesus growing in wisdom, how our desire for growing in wisdom leads us to practice the spiritual disciplines. And I hope each of us this past week considered our participation in the spiritual disciplines that Jesus participated in. And I hope that you not only carry that through the month of February, I hope that you carry that through the rest of the month, the rest of the year, the rest of your life, because the spiritual disciplines are where we grow in wisdom of God. Today we're going to consider the second growth area for our Lord, and that is Jesus grew in stature. Now, this particular area of growth can be taken two different ways. We can take it literally, and we can take it spiritually. We're going to take it both, all right? First, Jesus grew up. He literally grew from an infant to a toddler to a child to a teen to a young adult to an adult. He grew taller, he grew bigger, he matured. Jesus would have followed the Jewish dietary laws of the day. He would have worked hard helping his parents. He would have more than likely learned a trade, perhaps carpentry like his earthly father, and he would have gotten stronger, growing every day. He took care of himself physically, and he grew appropriately. Now, we don't have any specific verses that talk, you know, specifically about the physical health of Jesus. We know he got tired. We know he got hungry. But nothing that talked about, you know, how he took care of his you know, regimen every day to make sure he stayed. We don't have any verses like that. We do know, though, that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So because of that, we take good care of our bodies. Because of that, Jesus took good care of his body. Now, for our purposes in 2025, I think it's more impactful. It's good to know that Jesus took care of himself physically. But let's talk about how he grew in stature spiritually. I mentioned last week our new GROW model for discipleship here at Fairmount. This is something our discipleship team is working on, and we will, you know, launch it for everybody here in the near future. It's a model. It's a one-stop resource for each of us to consider how we are growing in our walk with the Lord. So no matter how long you've been a Christian or wherever you are on your walk, there's always a next step that everybody in this room needs to take. And our GROW model is going to help everybody to be able to say, this would be a great way for me to grow and then commit to that. Last Sunday, there's Megan. Megan grabbed me afterwards, and I thought it was wonderful. When she saw the GROW model, she thought it was going to be an acronym. And when an acronym never showed up, she gave me one. And it's actually awesome. And I wrote it down. I'll share it with you right now. You can write it on your margins today. The acronym GROW, Getting Real in Our Walk. Getting real in our walk. Boy, that's what discipleship is all about. Getting real in our walk with Jesus. Grow. In our grow model for discipleship, we also grow high in the love of Christ. Our grow model, our graphic is, of course, of a tree, and we see the roots. We grow roots. We grow deep in the love of Christ. We also grow up. We grow high in the love of Christ. That tree reminded me this week. Have you ever named a tree in your yard? Have you ever said, hey, I want to hang a swing from Bob in the backyard? Have you ever named a tree in your yard? You're an impressive tree when you have your own name. I have 5 trees in my yard. I've never named a single one of them. But there are trees that have their own names. One of them it goes by the name Hyperion. Hyperion is the personal name of a redwood tree in the Redwood National Park in California. Hyperion is the tallest tree in the world. Hyperion reaches 381 feet. That's taller than the Statue of Liberty. By comparison, here in Virginia, our tallest trees, oaks and hickories, they reach a height, at their highest, they reach a height of 140 feet. This tree is twice as tall as any tree you will find in the state of Virginia. Imagine growing high as possible, in the love of Christ. There's only one way to do that, and we do it by loving others like Jesus loved others. Our mission as a church is to love God, love people, and make disciples. In our growing deeper, we grow in our love of God. The more we know Him, the more we love Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to know Him. In our growing up, we grow in our love of others. How? By loving like Jesus loved. In the upper room before Jesus' arrest, he is gathered there with his apostles, including the apostle John. Most scholars believe when they put all the pieces together that John was actually seated next to Jesus. And John tells us more about what happens there in the upper room than any of the other disciples. More of what Jesus talked about, more of what Jesus shared. John chapters 13 through 17 are, if you have a red letter Bible with all the words that Jesus says, it's full of red letters because it's constantly Jesus teaching his disciples at this last opportunity he has with them before his crucifixion. In the midst of that sharing, he includes this gem. It's in John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, we've all been around Jesus long enough to know love ain't a new thing. We've been hearing about love for a long time, and Jesus talking about love is nothing new. So what is Jesus talking about when he says that there is a new command? Well, this Greek word for new suggests more than just new in a timeline. Like, I received a new book for Christmas, just published, and it's brand new. Never been before read. It's a brand new book. This word also suggests the fresh. When you use new to mean fresh. I just washed my car, and it looks like it's what? Brand new, meaning it's fresh, it's clean, it's sparkly, it's 10 years old, but it looks fresh and new. Jesus gives us a fresh command, a fresh way to look at love. And if you take the punctuation out that your Bible and my Bible has in them, that punctuation would not have been there when it was originally written down. It's clear and obvious what this new command is. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Now, for those sitting around that table, that was something new. Leviticus 19 said, love your neighbor as yourself. But the extent to which Jesus demonstrated love over and over again and that all of them saw on a daily basis for 3 years, that was a new kind of love. In our desire to grow like Jesus, let's explore how he loved people, and then let's follow his example and love people like he did. Jesus loved people in a lot of ways, and I want to highlight 3 of them for you this morning. First of all, Jesus loved by sharing, okay? By specifically sharing the good news. Now, we teach our toddlers to share, right? And I'm sure Jesus was a fine sharer as a toddler. I'm sure he was very good at sharing. But I'm not talking about that kind where you share your toys or you share your books or whatever. I want to emphasize his emphasis on sharing the good news. Over and over, the gospel accounts tell us that Jesus went from town to town sharing, preaching, teaching. It was part of his ministry. Matthew 4 says, From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Statements like this are included all through the Gospels. Jesus preaching, Jesus teaching. And then there are some accounts which aren't called preaching that we call preaching. Like the Sermon on the Mount is never actually called a sermon. All the scriptures say is that Jesus sat down, the disciples came to him, and he just started to teach them. But we call that a sermon, a time of sharing. So whatever you want to call it, preaching, teaching, instructing, reading out loud in the synagogue like Jesus used to do, all demonstrate him sharing. Jesus loved others by sharing. He had great news to share. He was great news to share. And everywhere he went, he shared. Now, the nature of his sharing good news is pretty wide and pretty exciting. The kingdom of God is here. What you've been waiting for centuries is now here. Hope is here. Salvation is here. Freedom is here. Healing is in your midst. Peace is a reality. You don't have to fear anymore. Sin and death are defeated. There's a lot of good news that Jesus shares. Every lesson, every word indicated to his listeners that he was not merely a teacher teaching his listeners, he was loving his listeners. We actively love others when we share with them the words of life. I want to share with you a story that I ran across. You may have seen this before or heard this before, but it's really quite powerful. And it words some things way I probably wouldn't word some things, but I think you'll get the point. It's about the magician Penn Jillette. You know Penn and Teller. Penn Jillette is the taller of the two, the one that actually talks. The other guy is silent on stage. You may or may not know that Jillette is a passionate advocate for atheism. He is a passionate atheist, someone who does not believe in the existence of God. A couple years ago, he recorded a video, which you can find online, about someone who came up to talk to him after one of his magic acts. And he said the guy was about his age. In fact, they had him up on stage that night as part of the act. You know, he came up on the stage as one of the participants in the magic show. The man complimented Jillette and said, "You know, I brought this for you." And he handed him a small book. It was a New Testament with the Psalms in it, and something he said could fit in your pocket. He said, the man said to him, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this." Jillette was moved by this. Even though he's a man who doesn't believe in God, he was moved by this. He said he was kind and nice, and I love it. He says, and he was sane. And he looked me in the eyes, and he talked to me, and then he gave me this Bible. Listen to this. "I've always said," Jillette explained, "I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them?" Now, that uses words I might not use, but he's exactly right. The secular atheist God denier is exactly right. We demonstrate our love for people when we share with them the words that can change their eternal destiny. Now, we do that in a lot of ways. Sometimes, yeah, it might be handing somebody a Bible, you know, that we just maybe wrote something in or whatever. That could be what we do. More than likely, it's going to come over conversation at lunch or over coffee or something like that. It's inviting people to come to worship, come sit with you in worship, or come with you to your Bible study that you have with others. It could be offering to pray for somebody. You got people already who need prayer, don't they? And say, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" It could be just walking through the scriptures with somebody who's never even opened up a Bible before. It comes in all kinds of ways. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to have the whole New Testament memorized. But when you do it, when you share the good news, you're loving people like Jesus loved them. Now, it's no surprise, Jesus also loved by serving. He served people everywhere he went. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, sharing, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. He served by teaching, he served by preaching, by sharing, but he also served by healing, by helping. He served by touching, by holding, by blessing. He served by stopping and listening and caring. He served by calming storms and calming lives. He served by breaking chains of bondage, chains of disease, and chains of prejudice. Jesus served by washing feet. If you want to love like Jesus, you have to serve like Jesus. Serving is rarely convenient, it's rarely easy, but it's always appropriate. And over time, serving becomes natural and second nature. Serving just becomes a part of the fabric of our lives. I love that this is a church of service, and always has been. In my, 60-some years of growing and being in this church, it's always been a church of service. Big things like Friday night. What a great way to serve. Friday night was an incredible night of service. It was so fun you didn't even know you were serving, right? It was a great night of service. But then, then on another day we'll go in the gymnasium. We'll pack 100,000 meals and send them overseas to people who don't have food. We'll have a Christmas production this year. Thousands of people will come into this room, a free gift to our community, and we'll be able to share the love of Christ with them. Big things that we do all the time as a church family, but then there are all the small things. Taking meals to the sick, visiting people in the hospital, filling a baby bottle with change, helping someone with their chair, sending a card to someone who's homebound. All the little ways. The more our hearts are molded by service, the more we will grow in stature, the stature of Jesus. And then Jesus loved by sacrificing. Some service is sacrifice. All sacrifice is service. And Jesus was master of both. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life, sacrifice his life as a ransom for many, for all, for everybody in this room and everyone you know and everyone you don't know." Jesus sacrificed a lot of things in the 33 years he walked on this earth. He left heaven for heaven's sake. He left heaven. What a sacrifice that was. The scripture says he had nowhere to lay his head. He had no home. He had no sleeping bag. He had nothing, none of the comforts of life that you and I enjoy. He lost friends because of his mission. A life of sacrifice. And then no greater sacrifice than what Kevin stood here in front of us a bit ago during our communion time and remind us of today. No greater sacrifice in the history of humanity as great as the sacrifice of his life. Jesus, a perfect man, gave his life so we could have eternal life. And why would he do that? He would do that because he loves us. Now, how do we do that? Sacrifice comes in a lot of forms. I think some of it, we tend to think of money. We do fundraisers and we sponsor children and we take up a weekly offering, all of these things. And that's good. And that is certainly should be a sacrifice. We give of our abundance and all that. That's good. But I think also we need to think of sacrifice in the commodity that means the most to us. And that's time. Time is the most precious commodity that we possess. And when we sacrifice our time, we love like Jesus. That's helping somebody in need. It's helping listening to somebody tell you their troubles. It's helping somebody with a job that's really hard for them. It's visiting people in the midst of their despair. But it's sacrificing our time to spend with people. When we sacrifice because of our love for God, the rewards are substantial. But the number one reward is knowing we've pleased God. So our challenge for today, last week we challenged everybody to consider a spiritual discipline, either adding one or being more committed to one of them. Today we want to commit to growing in one aspect of the love of Jesus in February. Scratch out in February. Who cares about February? Commit to growing in one aspect of the love of Jesus. Identify someone in your life who you need to share the good news with. Or identify someone in your life that you need to serve. You know, maybe somebody you're not serving right now. Somebody that you actually don't even like. Or somebody that's really like, I can never. No. Identify that person you need to serve. Identify that person who needs your sacrifice. The sacrifice of your time that they need today. All of them demonstrate the very best love of all, and that's the love of Jesus. So let's commit to growing in one aspect of the love of Christ. Our granddaughter loves Play-Doh. I mean, she's at that age now. She's discovering all these wonderful things. I've forgotten how much fun Play-Doh is. Play-Doh is so much fun. One thing I don't care about, I don't like the smell. You know, the smell of Play-Doh, yes. The front row up here is agreeing. Yeah, smell. Now, some people like that smell. I did not know this till I was researching something else and I came across this fascinating article about Play-Doh. I missed this that during the pandemic, they came out with adult scents, S-C-E-N-T-S, adult scents for Play-Doh. They called them grown-up scents. Did you know that? They came out and, hold on, I left this over here. Let me tell you what some of them were. These are amazing. It makes me want to go out and buy them. I don't even know. Where is it? Oh, no. Did I lose that? All right. If I left that? There it is. There it is. You can get the Play-Doh called Overpriced Latte. What does that smell like? Coffee. There you go. What did you say? Oh, Starbucks. Yes. I was like, what did you say? Spa Day. That one smelled like flowers. Okay, whatever. This one I did not understand. Mom jeans. They smell like clean denim. Does that smell good? Does clean denim smell good? I don't even know. There was the Play-Doh that smelled like Lord of the Lawn. Ha ha! Will's Will. That one's Will's right there. Lord of the Lawn. I would not want Play-Doh that smells like Will. There was the Play-Doh that was called Grill King. That's the best of all, smoked meat. And then the worst one of all, which I had to really read this one, there's one called Dad Sneakers. Yes. Well, no, it was the new shoe, the rubber smell. That's what they were going for there. I wouldn't even open the can that says Dad Sneakers. You know what I'm saying? But if I said to you, what's your favorite smell? What smell brings back wonderful memories of your child? Everybody in this room would say, oh, I love the smell of grandma's cookies, or I love driving down Laburnum and smelling the Nabisco factory, you know. I mean, there are all these wonderful aromas that we all love. This past Wednesday morning, our adult Bible study here at church, we were going through Exodus, and in the middle of Exodus, we were talking about sacrifices, and one of those sacrifices was taking a goat, and they would put the whole goat on the altar, and they would burn him up. And it said that goat created the burning of that goat created a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Because who don't like the smell of a barbecue, right? Right? Am I right? The sacrifice of the goat was a pleasing aroma to our Lord. The sacrifice that you do for your neighbors, coworkers, people you go to school with, when you sacrifice, when you serve, when you share, it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And I want to help people. I want to be good to people. I want to love people like Jesus loves people. But even more than that, I want to please God. And we please God when we sacrifice, serve, and share. Let's all stand up together. Lord, it is so powerful to know as we come into this place today, you move in our hearts. Every heart in this room, you move in a different way. And everyone in this room, Lord, just one way, prick our hearts today to whether it's sacrifice or service or sharing, whatever it is, Lord, prick in our hearts today one way that we can love people like Jesus loved people. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for an avenue for eternal life. And Lord, if there's one person in this place today who needs to make Jesus their Savior, may they not put it off another moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.